Okay, so I think most people listening know that wine bottles have these years on the label, the vintages. But do you ever wonder if it, like, really matters which year it is?
Oh, it can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Today, we're going to do a deep dive into vintages with all the research you've done, all these articles, notes.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll look at what makes one year fantastic, you know, and another year.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Exactly.
Like, did you know that a heat wave back in 2003 in Bordeaux created some really intense wines because the grapes just got so ripe?
That's fascinating, yeah.
We're going to uncover things like that and really see how it affects our favorite Cabernet or Chardonnay. What do you think?
I'm excited to dive in. You know, a vintage is like a snapshot in time for that wine. It's not just a date on a label. It's a whole story.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's like a record of everything that happened that year.
Right.
From the soil to the weather, even down to the choices the winemakers made. You can taste it all in that final bottle.
It's like each one has its own fingerprint. I saw one article even called Vintage Wines, Bottled Stories.
I love that.
Yeah. And, I mean, who doesn't love a good story, especially when you can drink?
Exactly.
But before we get carried away with all the stories, let's define something first. What exactly is a vintage?
Simply put, it's the year the grapes were harvested for that wine.
Okay.
And that year is so important because every single year brings its own unique environment for those grapes.
So, like, what kind of things are we talking about here?
I mean, we're talking about the weather, the soil, even the techniques they used back then to make the wine. For example, if you have a really dry summer like they had in Burgundy back in 2018, it really concentrates the flavors in those Pinot Noirs. It makes them taste so much richer and more powerful.
See, I always thought, like, a good vintage meant just, you know, perfect weather. Lots of sunshine, the right amount of rain.
It's not always that simple.
But what you're saying is that sometimes a little bit of challenging weather can actually make it more interesting.
That's exactly right. It's really about how all those different factors interact and how the winemakers, you know, work with what they have.
Yeah.
Imagine this. Some grapes, they actually love the heat. They need it to develop those rich sugars that give you a full-bodied wine.
Okay.
But others, they might actually benefit from a little bit of stress. Like if it's a cool spell or maybe there's a little less rain, it forces those vines to work harder and you get grapes with much more concentrated flavors.
So it's not just about a perfect year. It's more about how those conditions affect those grapes and that final wine.
That's the key.
Now, I've always been a little confused by the bottles that say, you know, non-vintage or NV.
Right.
What's the deal with those?
Well, with NV wines, they're actually blending wines from different years.
Oh, interesting.
The idea is to create a more consistent flavor profile, no matter what the vintage is. It's kind of like your house wine at a restaurant. Dependable and usually a bit easier on the wallet. But if you want to experience what makes those vintage wines special, we've got to talk about the biggest factor of all. The weather.
Yes. A lot of these articles talk about how a warm, dry year can lead to those really ripe, sweet grapes.
Yeah.
And that's what people love, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And one article even talked about how specific events like a hailstorm can actually reduce the number of grapes you get.
It's true.
But then the ones that are left, those flavors are just super concentrated. So sometimes you get these really exceptional wines.
It's true. And it's not just, you know, warm versus cool. Imagine there's like a sudden heat spike right before harvest.
Oh, wow.
Now, in some regions, like let's say Napa Valley, where they grow all that Cabernet Sauvignon, that extra heat can actually be a good thing because it helps ripen the tannins in the grape skins. That gives the wine a smoother texture as it ages. But in a place like Burgundy, known for those delicate Pinot Noirs, that same heat spike could be disastrous. The wine might end up tasting jammy and overripe.
Wow, so even within a single year, it's not just the overall weather, but it's the timing of those events that can have a huge effect on what ends up in the glass.
Precisely. That's why it's so important to understand the different regions and their typical climates.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a rainy year in Bordeaux. It could be a disaster. But that same rain in a drier region, like Ribera del Duero in Spain, could be exactly what they need. It could help those Tempranillo grapes fully ripen. It's amazing how the same grape can be so different depending on where it's grown and the vintage it comes from.
Okay, I'm starting to really get why a vintage is more than just a number.
Right.
It really captures a specific place in time. Now, we've talked about weather, we've talked about regions, but what about aging? I know some wines are meant to be drunk young. Others get better with time.
Absolutely.
Does the vintage play a role in that?
Oh, definitely. You see, some wines are meant to be aged for years, even decades. It's like a slow, beautiful evolution of flavors. But then you have others. They're meant to be enjoyed right away, fresh and vibrant.
Like a marathon runner versus a sprinter.
Exactly.
So what determines whether a wine is, you know, a marathoner or a sprinter?
It comes down to those key components within the wine, the acidity, the tannins, and the fruit.
Okay.
When those elements are perfectly balanced, you have a wine that can age gracefully. It gets even more complex over time. A wine with good acidity will feel lively even after years. The tannins, which can taste a bit bitter when the wine is young, they'll soften. And those fruit flavors, they'll deepen and develop these really fascinating nuances.
So some wines age beautifully, while others are best enjoyed young. How does vintage factor into this? Can a specific vintage actually make a wine more likely to age well?
That's a fantastic question. It brings us to what makes certain vintages truly exceptional. Sometimes you have a vintage that just has everything. Perfect weather, healthy grapes, amazing winemaking. That combination leads to wines that have the structure and balance to age for decades.
So a particular vintage can be like a recipe for success when it comes to aging.
It really can.
This is making me look at that year on the label totally differently now.
And we haven't even talked about how a great vintage can change the market.
Oh, right.
It can make certain wines incredibly sought after, even driving up prices.
Okay, tell me more. I'm intrigued.
Just imagine a vintage like 1982 in Bordeaux. That year, the weather was just perfect, leading to wines with amazing depth and aging potential. Today, those bottles are legendary. You see them at auction fetching astronomical prices.
Wow. So picking the right vintage can actually be like an investment.
It certainly can be. But for many collectors, it's not just about the money. They look for specific vintages for their historical significance or even personal reasons. Imagine owning a bottle from the year you were born or a year that marked a special occasion. That's a story you can share. But before we get into collecting and prices, let's talk about something that's really changing the wine world, technology.
Oh, yeah. With all the advancements in, you know, winemaking today, does vintage even matter as much anymore if they can control the process more?
That's a great point.
Like using irrigation to handle droughts or temperature-controlled tanks, maybe they can kind of smooth out those differences between years.
It's definitely a hot topic in the wine world, and it's true, modern techniques can help winemakers a lot. They can reduce some of the challenges of, you know, difficult weather and ensure more consistent quality from year to year.
Okay.
But can they erase the impact of nature completely? No.
So even with all our fancy technology, we're still at the mercy of Mother Nature when it comes to wine.
In many ways, yes. And that's what makes wine so fascinating. It's this partnership between human ingenuity and the natural world.
I like that.
And the vintage, it's a beautiful expression of that relationship.
It reflects the fingerprint of each year.
That's right.
That's really poetic. We've covered a lot what vintage means, how weather and winemaking shape it, even how it can affect a wine's value. But I want to make sure we don't lose sight of something important. At the end of the day, wine is about enjoyment.
You are absolutely right.
It's about the aromas, the flavors, sharing those moments with friends.
I completely agree.
All this talk about vintages, regions, aging, it's not about making things feel complicated or intimidating. You don't need to be an expert to enjoy a glass of wine.
Exactly. This information should actually make your experience richer.
Right.
It should give you a deeper appreciation for what you're tasting and the story behind it.
I love that. It's like having a secret decoder ring for the world of wine. You can unlock all these hidden layers and enjoy it on a whole other level.
That's a great way to put it. And remember, taste is subjective. There's no single best vintage. The perfect vintage is the one you enjoy the most.
Yeah, so even if a certain vintage gets amazing reviews from the critics, if it's a collector's item, it might not be the right one for you, for your tastes.
That's right. The most important thing is to find wines that you love, wines that create memories. And sometimes, you know, those discoveries come from being adventurous, trying something new, stepping outside your comfort zone.
Okay, I'm ready to explore. Where do we go from here?
Let's dive into some specific examples. You mentioned Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay earlier. They're both great places to start. You can really see how vintage shines through in those two.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay, let's get into specifics. I bet those are great examples of how vintage can really change things up.
Absolutely. They're both popular grapes, but so different depending on the year, you know?
So let's say I'm a Cabernet Sauvignon fan. What should I be looking for vintage-wise?
Well, Cabernet is all about structure and aging potential. So warmer years where those grapes get super ripe, Those are usually the most sought after vintages. You're talking bold flavors, full body, those rich tannins. That's your classic warm year Cabernet.
So if I want that classic Cabernet experience, the kind of bottle, you know, maybe I'd even keep in the cellar for a while, I should be looking for warmer years on the label.
Exactly. And there are some regions that are famous for producing Cabernet Sauvignons that age beautifully. Bordeaux in France, Napa Valley here in the U.S., even parts of Australia. But here's the thing. Even within those regions, some years really stand out. For example, if you ever come across a Napa Cab from 2015, snap it up. That year, the growing season was long and warm, which means incredible concentration and depth in those grapes. Those wines are meant to age.
Okay, we're writing that down. 2015 Napa Cab. Got it. Now, Chardonnay. Chardonnay seems like it can be all over the place, right? From like really crisp and unoaked to the richer, buttery kind. Does vintage play a role in those differences too?
Oh, absolutely. Chardonnay is a really interesting one because it reflects the vintage maybe even more than Cabernet Sauvignon. Cooler years, you tend to get Chardonnays that are much brighter, leaner. Think green apple, citrus, maybe even some of those stony mineral notes.
Oh, that sounds like my style.
Yeah.
Refreshing, perfect for a warm day. Any specific vintages come to mind for that style?
If you like that crisp style, look for Chablis. It's from Burgundy, France. The 2014 vintage was excellent. It was a cooler year, so those wines have a fantastic acidity that balances those citrus and mineral notes beautifully.
2014 Chablis on the list. Now, what about the richer, buttery Chardonnays? Are those also vintage dependent?
Absolutely. For that style, you're typically looking at grapes from warmer years, ripe peaches, tropical fruits, a fuller body. And then, of course, if the winemaker ages the Chardonnay in oak, you get those extra layers, butter, vanilla, spice.
So it's a combination of the vintage and the winemaker's choices that shape that final style. I've heard that some California Chardonnays are famous for that rich, oaky style. Is there a vintage that comes to mind for them?
California had a string of warm years in the early 2010s that were perfect for those big Chardonnays. If you're looking for something special, try to find a bottle from 2012 or 2013. They're drinking beautifully right now.
Okay, so it's not about good or bad years, right? It's about understanding how the vintage shaped the wine. A warm year might be fantastic for a Cabernet, but could make a Chardonnay too jammy. And then a cooler year might be amazing for a Chardonnay, but leave a Cabernet, you know, lacking some oomph.
Exactly. That's what's so exciting about exploring vintages. It's like seeing how different years paint different expressions of the same grape.
I love that. Each bottle is like a time capsule, capturing that specific year. Now, we've been focusing on Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay, but does all this apply to, like, other grapes, too?
Of course. Whether you prefer Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, Zinfandel, whatever it is, vintage can play a huge role. Take Pinot Noir, for example. It's known for that delicate fruit, those earthy notes, and it can be super sensitive to vintage variations.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. In Burgundy, France, where they make some of the best Pinot Noirs in the world, a great vintage can create wines that are just incredibly elegant and complex, but a tougher year might result in wines that are lighter, maybe a little less structured, but those lighter wines can still be delicious, you know? They just show a different side of Pinot Noir.
So no matter what your favorite grape is, learning a little bit about vintage can really help you choose a bottle that you'll enjoy. It's like having insider knowledge.
That's a great way to put it. And remember, it doesn't have to be intimidating. Just start with the basics and don't be afraid to ask questions. Talk to the people at your local wine shop or maybe a sommelier at a restaurant. They can point you in the right direction.
Yeah, get some recommendations.
Exactly. They can tell you what's drinking well right now, what needs more time, even suggest some hidden gems. You might find a fantastic wine that isn't from a famous vintage, but it's delicious and it's more affordable.
Oh, I like the sound of that. So it's not always about like chasing those big names and spending a ton of money.
Not at all. It's about finding what you love. And sometimes the best way to do that is to step outside your comfort zone. Maybe you're a Chardonnay person, but then you try this amazing aged Pinot Noir from, you know, a lesser known vintage, and it totally changes your perspective.
It's all about exploring.
Exactly.
Now, we were talking earlier about those famous wine regions. Do certain regions have a reputation for producing, like, exceptional wines in certain years?
Oh, definitely. Think about Bordeaux, for example. It's a region with so much history and tradition, yeah. And there are certain vintages like 1982, 1990, 2000 that are legendary. Those years just had the perfect combination of weather and winemaking, and the wines they produced are both powerful and age-worthy. But, you know, exceptional vintages can happen anywhere.
Right.
In 2007, the Barolo region in Italy, they had a spectacular year. Some of the most structured and complex Barolos ever. And even some newer wine regions like Oregon have had their standout years. 2018, in Oregon, it was super warm and dry. They made some incredible Pinot Noirs that year with ripe fruit, silky tannins, just delicious.
So even if I see a bottle from a region I don't know that well, but it's from a highly rated vintage, it might be worth a try.
Absolutely. Vintage can be a really useful guide, especially when you're exploring new wines. It gives you a clue about the style and quality you can expect.
It's like having a compass to navigate the world of wine.
But with all this talk about specific vintages and regions, are there any, like, general tips or strategies for choosing a wine based on the year?
That's a great question. And it brings us to what makes vintage so rewarding. It's not about just memorizing facts and figures. It's about using that knowledge to explore and discover.
I like that idea of vintage as a springboard for discovery. Mm-hmm. So where do we begin? What are some practical things people can do to use this information when they're choosing a wine?
All right, so we've talked a lot about what vintage means, how the weather, the region, even the winemaking all kind of comes together to shape that final bottle you open up. We even talked about how some of these vintages become, you know, collector's items.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
But now I want to get practical. How can we use all this knowledge to actually help you, listening right now, pick out a bottle you'll really enjoy? Whether you're, you know, at the store looking at a wine list, what do you think?
Well, it's about making that vintage knowledge work for you. You don't have to be, you know, a wine expert to choose something great.
Right, because sometimes it can feel pretty overwhelming, especially when you see those massive wine lists. Like, where do you even begin?
The best place to start is just thinking about the occasion. What are you doing? Are you celebrating something? Or just looking for a casual bottle to have with dinner?
Yeah, makes sense. A casual weeknight dinner is probably going to call for something different than, let's say, a big anniversary celebration.
Exactly. And once you know the occasion, you know, think about your tastes. What do you like? Big, bold reds, crisp whites, something in between.
And that's where understanding vintage can really help, right?
Yeah.
Because we know that a warmer year usually means that wine's going to be fuller bodied, and a cooler year, you're going to get something a little lighter and more delicate.
Exactly. And don't forget, you can always ask for help. A good wine shop or a sommelier, they can be your best friend.
Yeah.
They can point you toward vintages that are drinking well right now. Maybe help you find a hidden gem, you know? You might find a wine that's not from a super famous vintage, but it's absolutely delicious and easy on the wallet.
I like that, yeah. So it's not always about just chasing the big names, you know, or breaking the bank.
Not at all. The best wine is the one you love, right?
Absolutely.
And sometimes the best way to find it is to be adventurous. You know, step outside your comfort zone a little bit. Maybe you've always been a Chardonnay drinker, but then you try this beautifully aged Pinot Noir from a, you know, lesser known vintage, and it just blows you away.
I love that. So much to discover, even if you think you know what you like.
Exactly.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to go back to that idea of a personal connection to vintage.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about how some people collect those wines from vintages that are, you know, really special to them, like the year they were born or a year that marks a big occasion. I mean, that just makes choosing a bottle even more meaningful.
It really does. It's like each bottle holds memories and emotions.
Exactly. It's like a little time capsule. So when you're choosing your next bottle, maybe think about the stories you wanted to tell.
I love that.
Is it a wine to celebrate with friends and families? Or to remember a special event? Or maybe just a wine to, you know, relax and enjoy on a random Tuesday night?
Wine is really about connection, isn't it?
Yeah.
Connection to the land, to the people who made it, to the people we share it with.
And the vintage, it just adds like another layer to that connection, right? Yeah. Captures that specific time and place.
Absolutely.
To that.
Cheers. We hope this deep dive has helped you see vintage in a whole new way. And we encourage you to, you know, explore those years with confidence and a sense of adventure. Until next time, happy sipping.